I may have outdid last week. I think we've got every pew with at least that isn't blocked off and one that is. We've got people everywhere. It's good. It's good to see, I think. We'll see if that doesn't mess up. Also, as far as the clothing giveaway goes, I will do my best. If you get there and it's not unlocked, talk, text me, call me. I'll try to have the building open, the old building open, starting tomorrow from 9 till the evening time if you want to drop off some of your clothing just there in that first foyer area, and we'll get it into one of those little classrooms until we get it all sorted and put out. And we'll do that a week from Saturday. So, right? Is that right? A week from Saturday? I think that's right. So, but today we're going to continue this series on the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, His presence, His role, His work amongst us and in us. And I'll say this morning what we have to study is fairly deep, not because I'm giving it to you, but just because of the subject matter. And I hope that we can stay together and in the text, and I hope that I can say it as simply as it can be said, but I believe that it's profound and life-changing if we listen to the words of Jesus. We're going to start over the next 3 weeks. We're going to focus on chapters 14, 15, and 16 of John, Jesus' long discourse before His crucifixion, and so much of that deals with His departing from the apostles and His giving and sending of the Spirit and the role the Spirit would have among them. In John chapter 14, beginning in about verse 16, Jesus talks about the Spirit, and some of our translations read differently in what the Spirit is called. Some translations call Him the Comforter, some call Him the Counselor, some call Him the Helper, and we might have different images that pop in our head when we hear those words, Counselor, Comforter, and Helper. I read one writer that noted when he hears Comforter, it makes him think of the Holy Spirit as a quilt. Maybe we all do that. When we hear Comforter, we think of the Spirit making us feel all warm and cozy and protected. Maybe that's what we think of when we hear the Spirit as a Comforter. Maybe when we hear Counselor, I think of a psychiatrist. I don't know what that says about me. But maybe we see the Spirit as sort of like our therapist or our psychiatric counselor in that sense. When we hear Helper, for me, I think of a personal assistant. Maybe that's what we think of. And it's not, though, a problem with the translations. All of those are good words, Comforter, Counselor, and Helper. The reason why we misunderstand, why we think of the Spirit's role is just to make us feel warm and cozy or to be our personal assistant, or is because we aren't really looking at the context. If we look at the context, I think we will better understand that word that's used, parakletos, and what that word really means. And here's the thing that I hope that we get out of this series and out of this lesson this morning, is that God did not give His Holy Spirit to help us achieve our goals, but to help us achieve His. That's the main point this morning. If we're going to understand the role of the Spirit in the lives of God's people, then we have to understand that God did not give us His Spirit to be our personal assistant. God did not give us His Spirit to achieve our goals, but to achieve His goals. Again, He didn't give us His Spirit to help us bring about our will into fruition, but to help or to bring our will into alignment with God's so we can achieve His will. Maybe one of the reasons we don't understand the role of the Spirit is because we don't fully understand the role of Jesus. If someone were to ask you, what is the main reason that Jesus came and died on the cross? What was the main purpose of Jesus coming and giving His life for people? Well, we might say that Jesus came and died to save me from going to hell. We might say that Jesus died to save me so I could go to heaven. But I would put it the same way that Paul puts it in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10, where Paul says that God's plan was for the fullness of time. His plan was to unite all things in heaven and earth through Jesus. The role of Jesus, the purpose of Jesus, the plan of the Father through Jesus is to unite all things on heaven and earth, to reconcile the human family, us, to the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. The role of Jesus, the reason Jesus became a human being, that the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us and gave His life as an offering, and then ascended to the Father's right hand. The purpose of all of it, of what Jesus did, of what Jesus is doing, and what Jesus will do, the purpose of all of it is to reconcile heaven and earth, to reconcile the human family with the Father, Son, and Spirit. That's what Jesus was doing, is doing, and will continue to do, and has ever since the fall of man. That there's been a separation between God and man, and Jesus comes to tear down that separation. Jesus came to unite, or reunite, or stitch back together. That's the metaphor that I have in my head, stitching two things back together. That's what Jesus is doing. He's sewing together heaven and earth, sewing together humanity and God. And I think as we look at this text this morning, you'll see exactly the sort of thing that Jesus is talking about, because that's exactly what Jesus came to do, is to reconcile humanity to God. So let's look at verse 12 of John chapter 14. And this is Jesus speaking. Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father." And just for a second this morning, I want you to block out all of the bad that we have in our world. We are inundated with bad news, but just for a second, try to push that out and just think about all of the good that has been accomplished since the ascension of Jesus back to heaven. All of the good all over the world that has been done in our lives and in our communities and in this world because of people doing the works of Jesus. Doing the sort of work that Jesus taught us to do. And Jesus says that you'll do these works and even greater works than these that I achieved during my earthly ministry. And why can we do that? He says, because I am going to the Father. Sometimes, and I don't think I understood for a long time, but Jesus is not was, but Jesus is a man. Jesus is a human being. Transformed, a resurrected human being 2.0, no doubt, but he is a human being, and that is the beauty of the gospel, that God became human, and then that human ascended to the right hand of the Father to stitch together heaven and earth. Again, God became man, and that man ascended to the Father's right hand to bring the family together, and he became our advocate. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 tells us that. In fact, that's the same word that we're going to read in a moment, this parakletos, this helper, this advocate, counselor, that Jesus is that in heaven. Jesus is the human being who has ascended to the Father's right hand to bring together God and humanity, and the reason why we can do the work that he did, in fact, greater works than he did, is because we have a human being, Jesus Christ, the man, at the right hand of the Father, to be our human representative in heaven. In verse 13, he says, "Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." What does that mean, to pray in Jesus' name, to pray with confidence in who he is and what he has done and what he is doing? We pray and we believe that we are heard, again, because of 1 John 2:1, we believe that we are heard because we have a parakletos. Now, we have a human representative who is divine. Yes, he is God, and he is human. He is the man, Jesus Christ. We have one mediator between man and God, the man, Jesus Christ. And because we have that representative in heaven on our behalf, we pray with confidence in his relationship with God the Father and in his relationship with us. We pray knowing that God hears us and answers us because we have a confidence in Jesus' relationship with the Father. And we know that we have a friend and a brother in heaven with the Father. Verse 15, Jesus says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." And that's the beauty of all of it, that Jesus represents us in heaven and we represent Jesus on the earth. We continue to carry out the works of Jesus on earth, and Jesus says that your love for him, the disciples' love for him, your love for him is demonstrated by doing what? by keeping his commandments. Well, what are his commandments? Specifically in John, he makes it super simple to understand. He says, here are my commandments. Jesus says, love one another as I have loved you. These are Jesus' commandments. Be faithful to the Father. Be faithful even unto death, and love your neighbor as yourself. Love one another as I have loved you. And Jesus says, our relationship, my relationship and my disciples' relationship is demonstrated by, is exemplified by, is evidenced by your keeping his commandments. You're living out what he told us to do, and in the way Jesus continues to reconcile all things as Jesus, God, came to earth and then became a man. And again, then that man, God, or God-man, however you want to put it, he went back to heaven to sit at the Father's right hand and reconcile. Then you and I live out the works of Jesus right now on this earth. And we, through faithfulness and self-giving love, are reconciled to each other. If we look around this auditorium this morning, we have people from all kinds of different backgrounds and ages, and they're all brought together by Jesus. But more than that, throughout this entire world this morning, there are people breaking of the bread and sharing the cup together. Because of our shared faith in Jesus, we are being reconciled to each other and to God through Jesus Christ. He's stitching all things back together. The way you participate in this is that you obey his commandments. You follow him. You love others as he has loved you. You imitate his faithfulness and self-giving love. Continues in verse 16, Jesus says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another parakletos, another helper to be with you forever. And again, you might already start to see the picture from 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. A parakletos is someone that is sent. And I think of an emissary, a person who is sent from one party to another party, to go from party 1 to party 2 and to represent a party 1 to party 2. Anybody still with me? If you send someone to go and represent you to someone else, and you say, go and be my representative. And in a law court, and that's where we get the word, a counselor. It's not like a psychiatrist or a camp counselor, but counselor like a lawyer. That's what a lawyer does. A lawyer represents his client to the court. He goes and is a representative of party one to party two. Jesus was a parakletos for us, right? He was a representative of heaven. That's what he's been saying all throughout John. I am from the Father. And so as a parakletos, as a representative, as a counselor, as a helper, as a comforter, Jesus comes as an emissary from heaven to earth as God in the flesh. Now, as present day, Jesus serves as a parakletos in heaven. Again, 1 John 2:1. But now he says the Holy Spirit is going to be another helper, another parakletos, a representative, an emissary from heaven to come and be with you. The Spirit is going to be God's counselor, God's representative, God's helper, who is going to come and be with you. And that's good news. Jesus says, listen, I'm going to be leaving. I'm going to go back to the Father, and that's good for you. You should rejoice that I'm going to be with the Father, but I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm sending another parakletos. I'm going to send another emissary, another counselor to come and be with you to represent God in heaven. Do you see that? That stitching continues. God comes to earth, becomes man, and then ascends back to the Father's throne, and then God sends his Spirit to stay and be with his people, stitching together humanity, heaven and earth, and God and human beings. And in verse 17, and we're going to look at this phrase a little bit more next week, where Jesus continues, he says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells in you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. I think here Jesus specifically means the resurrection. He says, because I live, you also will live. In that day you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. And you'll remember now for several weeks we've talked about this intertwined language that Jesus uses. Jesus keeps saying things like, I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, and I am in you, and the Spirit is in you, and you are in me. And again, there's that stitching back together. If you are a follower of Jesus, if you've put on Jesus the way that Paul talks about in Galatians chapter 3, if you've clothed yourself in Jesus, in Romans chapter 6, Paul talks about baptism as the uniting yourself with Jesus. And we talked in John chapter 3 about being born again of the water and the Spirit. When you've been united with Jesus in baptism, heaven and earth, God and humanity are being reconciled in you. You are a piece of humanity that is being reconciled to God through Jesus because your representative, your brother and your friend, is at the right hand of the Father, and His Spirit has come to live in you as a gift, sort of as a down payment of what's to come, to mark you, to say, you belong to me. A parakletos, a representative, an emissary from heaven, God's counselor and helper and comforter, come to be with His people because His people are being reconciled to Him through Jesus Christ. Verse 21 says, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. And do you see how this reconciliation cannot happen without your participation? And I'll just say that again. The reconciliation cannot happen without your participation. You have to participate by obeying the commands of Jesus. Now, again, especially here in John, the commands are be faithful and have self-giving love. Love others as He has loved you. And do you see how this reconciliation happens amongst ourselves and in between us and heaven, between us and God? If you love me, you will keep my commandments. In verse 22, it says, Judas, John tells us, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? And Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. The relationship that Jesus is repairing and recreating is maintained through trust and obedience. As we trust Him and then we walk in His ways, we are allowing Jesus and the Spirit to reconcile us to the Father. But the opposite is true. If we say, I don't want to obey your words, I won't obey your commandments, I don't want to be meek and mild, I don't want to lay down my life, I don't want to pick up my cross, I don't want to follow you, I don't want to love my neighbor as you have loved me, I don't want to get walked all over, I don't want to be that loving, kind, and gentle or patient. If that's the case, then we are rebelling against God's plan to reconcile humanity to Himself. It's obvious, Paul would say, and Jesus would say, who belongs to the Father and who doesn't. Who is walking by the Spirit and who is walking by the flesh? Look at Galatians chapter 5. Paul says it's evident who's walking by the flesh. There's envy and jealousy and fighting, anger. There's all of these things. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. These are the characteristics of the people who are being reconciled to God. Why? Because these are the characteristics of God. When heaven's representative lives in you, when heaven's parakletos lives inside of you, when God's counselor lives in you, when God's emissary lives in you, and you walk by the Spirit and obey the commandments of Jesus, it is very evident. Verse 25 of John 14 says, these things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all the things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Now, I think Jesus, especially here, is speaking specifically to the apostles because the Spirit can't bring to my remembrance everything that Jesus said and did. But He did do that for the apostles. I think what the Spirit does in our lives as we read the words of the apostles and we put our faith in Jesus as we are united with Him in baptism, the Spirit may not bring the remembrance of all the words and actions of Jesus, but the Spirit certainly brings to life the words of Jesus. The Spirit is bringing to life the words of Jesus within the church. That's what the Spirit does. He brings to life the faithfulness and self-giving love of Jesus within God's people, within the lives of the people who are being reconciled to God. So this morning, our moment of truth question. Are the words of Jesus coming to life in you? Are the commandments of Jesus, the faithfulness and self-giving love of Jesus, are they coming to life in you? When Jesus says, if someone slaps you on one cheek, you turn and let them slap the other. Or when Jesus says, if someone forces you to walk a mile, you walk too. Or when Jesus says, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Love your enemies and do good to those who hate you. When Jesus tells you these things, when Paul tells you, don't overcome evil with evil, but overcome evil with good. And we say, that's hard. I don't know how to do that. Is the Spirit of God bringing to life these words in you? Is He? Have you been united with Jesus? Do you have His Spirit? Have you put Him on in baptism? Is the Spirit of God renewing you and recreating you to be more like the Father? Are you being reunited, reconciled, stitched back together with the Father through Jesus and the Spirit? And if you can honestly look at your life and say, not so much. Not as much as I'd like I think most of us probably could, then what's the answer? Well, it's everything we've been saying for the last few weeks. Focus on Jesus. Do the works of Jesus, whether you feel like it or not. Sometimes we act like I'm going to wait until the Spirit makes me feel like doing this. I don't feel like doing it yet. That's the wrong way to do it. Start the works of Jesus and then watch the Spirit of God transform your life. If you don't know what the works of Jesus are, if you don't know how to live out His faithfulness and self-giving love, then that's what this is all about. This gathering together and retelling the story over and over again, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our hearts to the Lord, giving thanks to Christ in everything, for everything, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ as we live out the story of Jesus and meditate on the story of Jesus and think about that story and preach the story and sing the story of Jesus, His words, His faithfulness, His self-giving love. His cross is manifest in our life. The words of Jesus come to life as we reorient our entire life around Him. And again, it starts at baptism. It starts there where you are united with Him, where you declare your faith in Him and say, I want my life intertwined with Jesus. I want to be stitched back together. I want to be made new. I want to be recreated. I want to be reconciled by the Spirit of God. It starts at baptism, but then it continues every single day as we allow Jesus and the Spirit to reconcile humanity and God, us and God. And maybe you've been thinking about uniting your life to Jesus and pledging your faith through baptism. Maybe you've done that and you've just sort of wandered away and allowed there to be a divide again between you and God. We implore you, urge you to come home. Jesus' whole purpose is reconciliation. And if you need to be reconciled, don't wait. Or maybe you just need the prayers of a Spirit-filled church. We would love to help you in any way we can if you'll come as together we stand and we sing.